Part 1, Chapter 2. It was a good day for a funeral, only it seemed there wasn't going to be one. Dark, stormy-looking clouds were creeping in from the west, shredded by the snow-speckled peaks, leaving only a few patches of blue sky showing. Johnny Good Boy Tyler stood beside his horse at the upper end of the wide mountain meadow and looked with discontent upon the sprawled and decaying village. His father was dead, and he ought to be properly buried. He hadn't died of the red blotches, and there was no question of somebody else catching it. His bones had just crumbled away, so there was no excuse not to properly bury him. Yet there was no sign of anyone doing so. Johnny had gotten up in the dawn dark, determined to choke down his grief and go about his correct business. He had yelled up Wind Splitter, the fastest of his several horses, put a cowhide rope on his nose, and gone down through the dangerous defiles to the lower plain, and with a lot of hard riding and herding, pushed 5 wild cattle back up to the mountain meadow. He had then bashed out the brains of the fattest of them, and ordered his Aunt Ellen to push the barbecue fire together and get meat cooking. Aunt Ellen hadn't cared for the orders. She had broken her sharpest rock, she said, and couldn't skin and cut the meat, and certain men hadn't dragged in any firewood lately. Johnny Goodboy had stood very tall and looked at her. Among people who were average height, Johnny Goodboy stood half a head taller, a muscular 6 feet shining with the bronzed health of his 20 years. He had just stood there, wind tangling his corn-yellow hair and beard, looking at her with his ice-blue eyes. And Aunt Ellen had gone and found some wood and had put a stone to work, even though it was a very dull one. He could see her now, down there below him, wrapped in the smoke of slow-roasting meat. Busy. There ought to be more activity in the village, Johnny thought. The last big funeral he had seen was when he was about 5 years old, when Smith, the mayor, had died. There had been songs and preaching and a feast, and it had ended with a dance by moonlight. Mayor Smith had been put in a hole in the ground and the dirt filled in over him, and while the 2 cross sticks of the marker were long since gone, it had been a proper, respectful funeral. More recently, they had just dumped the dead in the Black Rock Gulch below the water pool and let the coyotes clean them up. Well, that wasn't the way you went about it, Johnny told himself. Not with his father, anyway. He spun on his heel and with one motion went aboard Wind Splitter. The thump of his hard, bare heel sent the horse down toward the courthouse. He passed by the decayed ruins of cabins on the outskirts. Every year, they caved in further. For a long time, anybody needing a building log hadn't cut any trees. They had just stripped handy existing structures. But the logs in these cabins were so eaten up and rotted now, they hardly even served as firewood. Wind Splitter picked his way down the weed-grown track, walking watchfully to avoid stepping on ancient and newly discarded food bones and trash. He twitched his ear toward a distant wolf howl from up in a mountain glen. The smell of new blood and the meat smoke must be pulling the wolves down, thought Johnny, and he hefted his kill club from where it dangled by a thong into his palm. He'd lately seen a wolf right down in the cabins, prowling around for bones, or maybe even a puppy, or a child. Even a decade ago, it wouldn't have happened. But every year, there were fewer and fewer people. Legend said that there had been 1,000 in the valley, but Johnny thought that was probably an exaggeration. There was plenty of food. The wide plains below the peaks were overrun with wild cattle, wild pigs, and bands of horses. The ranges above were alive with deer and goats, and even an unskilled hunter had no trouble getting food. There was plenty of water due to the melting snows and streams, and the little patches of vegetables would thrive if anybody planted and tended them. No, it wasn't food. It was something else. Animals reproduced, it seemed, but man didn't. At least not to any extent. The death rate and the birth rate were unbalanced, with death the winner. Even when children were born, they sometimes had only one eye, or one lung, or one hand, and had to be left out in the icy night. Monsters were unwanted things. All life was overpowered by a fear of monsters. Maybe it was this valley. When he was 7, he had asked his father about it.
"But maybe people can't live in this place,"
he had said. His father had looked at him wearily.
"There were people in some other valleys, according to the legends. They're all gone, but there are still some of us."
He had not been convinced. Johnny had said,
"There's all those plains down there, and they're full of animals. Why don't we go live there?"
Johnny had always been a bit of a trial. Too smart, the elders had said. Always stirring things up. Questions, questions. And did he believe what he was told? Even by older men who knew a lot better? No, not Johnny Good Boy Tyler. But his father had not brought any of this up. He had just said wearily,
"There's no timber down there to build cabins."
This hadn't explained anything, so Johnny had said,
"I bet I could find something down there to build a cabin with."
His father had knelt down, patient for once, and said,
"You're a good boy, Johnny, and your mother and I love you very much. But nobody could build anything that would keep out the monsters."
Monsters. Monsters. All his life, Johnny had been hearing about the monsters. He'd never seen one. But he held his peace. The oldsters believed in monsters, so they believed in monsters. But thinking of his father brought an unwelcome wetness to his eyes. And he was almost unseated as his horse reared. A string of foot-long mountain rats had rushed headlong from a cabin and hit Windsplitter's legs. "What you get for dreaming?" Johnny snapped to himself. He put Windsplitter's 4 hoofs back down on the path and drummed him forward the last few yards to the courthouse.